Tune in tomorrow. Same cat time, same cat channel.
To the Batmobile. This could be the break we've been looking for.
Oh, Catwoman. Catwoman, will you never learn?
So you didn't tell the truth.
You ever hear of a crook who did?
You filthy criminals.
It doesn't pay to court disaster, Robin. She's playing right into our hands. I planned it all this way.
You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and yes, again, I am your host. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, kinsmen and kinswomen. I'm glad you're back this week to learn more. These are valuable lessons that we should learn from so that we have an understanding of all the false religions that are around us that are playing like they're Christian, but we know they're not. These are churches of the devil, which are an imitation of the churches of the Father. Really, they're not churches, they're congregations, a gathering together of the brethren, and it's all, they try to use the same verbiage as we use, and deceive many people in the process. You know, it amazes me just how tenacious the Jehovah Witnesses are. They just keep showing up at everybody's doorstep. And they don't give up easy. They have a tenacity that is pretty, you know, virile. And it certainly is something that I'm not interested in. So it's like a salesman that knocks on your door, and I'm not interested in what the Jehovah Witnesses are selling. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not into Satan. And I'm not into worshiping men and institutions. So I'm not interested in what the Jehovah Witnesses are selling. And I'm certainly not interested in Masonry, Freemasonry, or any of these things. Speculative Freemasonry, none of it. I'd be more interested in, you know, learning how to build buildings, you know, but not their little organizations. I'm not into these organizations in the world, because I know that the greatest organizers are the Jews themselves. They organize all kinds of little cliques all around the world, all designed to entrap people and to catch them saying something off color, which is a bunch of nonsense. I wanted to mention something very interesting. Listening to a song from Lynyrd Skynyrd, he mentions how he's going to kill this girl and all of her friends. And listen, you know, he's just saying this like, you know, it's the type of a thing where the girl's a cheating woman. And basically she's cheated on him with several people. And he's just saying, you know, that he's going to, it's not, you know, see, we've been so conditioned now. Now, he's probably just saying it, right? But it's like he's saying this to the world. It's on a record. But they didn't take him to, you know, Homeland Security didn't show up at his door, because people have always spoken that way. It's not like a something that's this new terrorist thing. They've made an issue out of all these things. If a woman cheats on a man, you know, this is something that is very hurtful. And I know, you know, you're going to say, well, if you condone violence, well, look at it this way. If women found out that when you cheat on your man, he comes after you and gives you, you know, gives you a hurting with something, you know, they're likely not to do it, you see. But the Jew has found ways to protect the sinner. And the sinner is always out there, and they know they can get away with these things, so they do. And it's the same thing as I've told you, that the Father's wisdom, he says that you cut these things off at the root. You don't let them grow. We see the encouragement of sin. These blacks are getting very short sentences for killing white people, and they come out and they kill again. They don't learn anything in there. They're brute beasts. You say, well, Dave, I know somebody that came out and was more... Yeah, I know. Yeah, I heard all that before. I've heard it all before. Let's just say that 99% of them come out and they kill again. By the way, I saw it today. The faces of all the mass shooters in 2019, at least 90% are Negroes, and the others, there's only maybe two or three alleged white people, and then there's a few that they're pretending are white but are not. We found out that the fellow that did the El Paso shooting, that his father is a Jew. Yes, we did find that out. And he's a race-mixing Jew, by the way, just another. I thought the Jews couldn't race-mix. You know how I always say that? Because every time I come across a Jew, this kid was Iranian and Italian. You get it. Not Italian, Italian. You know the difference. And so basically, but they portray him as a white man, you see, as usual. So when you look at this list of shooters that where there were four or more people, you'll see that it ain't whitey. And there's just been two more recent shootings, by the way. And, of course, they're not making a big deal out of it. It's not a white man. That's why. So it's very interesting that the Jew protects the sinner. The Jew works full time to exonerate the sinner. The animal. The wrongdoer. The hater. We see hate crimes that are happening against white people, and then almost never. I mean, I saw one recently that was in Minnesota, but they're almost never a hate crime when it's against whitey. If it's against a Jew, it's always a hate crime. Except when it's blacks, it seems like 90% of the times they don't call it a hate crime. When a black kills a Jew or does something to a Jew, they don't call it a hate crime then. So they're trying to show these Negroes that, you know, they're behind them. You know, don't worry, you can go out and you can kill and rape and do all the things and we'll get you off and we'll protect you. So if they were God's chosen people, would they be protecting the sinner or would they be rejecting the sinner? I leave that into your capable hands. And we already know they're not God's chosen people, but you see, it's just another way to tell that they're not. Remember I talked about how we are not able to tend the garden anymore. The Father put the Adamic race here to tend the garden. And that means to cull the deadheads or the dead or the evil. Well, the Jews are now making it, as I have said in times past, so that we cannot remove the dead from our society. When I say the dead, I'm not talking about people that are literally dead, but they're dead spiritually. They're dead. They've touched little children, or they've raped women, or any of these things. When you see somebody saying, oh, we're going to take the death penalty away, that is in opposition to the Father, in opposition to the heavenly realm, the king, heavenly kingdom, and which is in heaven, and the heavenly kingdom, which are the Israelite nations in the world on earth. So we're not able to cull the garden in this time of Jacob's trouble. Therefore, evil is growing exponentially, and that's the purpose of the whole thing. Remember I told you that there's certain plants out there that if you don't cut the dead heads off, it'll kill the whole plant. But if you cut the dead heads off, the plant will flourish and bloom and be beautiful. Well, the Jews don't want the world to flourish and bloom and be peaceful and be beautiful. They want chaos. They want blood. They're into the loss of blood. You understand what I mean? And so that's just something you should think about, because we're not able to cull the garden at this point. And the more we do not cull the garden, the more dead the plant or the garden becomes. When I say the garden, I'm talking about the world. We were sent here to tend to the garden, known as the world, so to speak. We're not able to tend to it anymore. We're locked up with laws. We're locked up with organizations. And we're locked up in 100 other ways, where our people are on drugs, they're living like the beasts of the field. It's funny that the Jews told everybody they're equal with the beasts of the field, and you and I don't agree that we're equal with them, but there are people that do believe that they're equal with them, and now they act like them. They've lowered themselves to being a beast of the field. Yes, some of our people are actually now two-legged beasts of the field, if you can even believe it. Is it even conceivable? Because it's not conceivable to me, but it just shows you if you believe you're an animal, you will be. If you begin to live and act like an animal, you will be. And this is what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. And this is what's happening to our people today. Not all of our people, but there are many of our people, like women that race mix with Negroids, which they're being killed, they're being judged by the Father. I see every day, every week, every month, a Negro killing his coal burner and the children with it, because it is just as horrified by the offspring, so to speak, because it's an abomination to the Father. And of course, I guess these Negroes realize it's an abomination to even them. But our people lower themselves. You know, if you could see some of the Negroes that I see our white women going out with, I mean, my dog would know better than to. You know, all I'm telling you is I can't believe these women. I mean, what are they thinking? I mean, you know, I remember this Negro or whatever he was. He went into the zoo, remember? And he was having relations with one of the baboons or whatever. I mean, the literal baboon. You remember that? And the white woman at the zoo said, well, he was having problems with his wives. I said, yeah, that's what white men do. When they have problems with their wives, they go have sex with, you know, the local gorilla at the zoo. She said it's their culture. Yeah. So when these women are, our women are going out with these beasts of the field. I mean, they're literally, they look like baboons. They look like gorillas. And you say to yourself, what has darkness to do with light? This isn't even, I mean, not only physically, but spiritually, right? What do we have to do with the black race? Nothing. What does light have to do with darkness? Nothing. So, enough of this rant. Let's begin to delve in where we left off last week. On the Watchtower and the Masons. I'm just going to go over the degrees. We know, I already went through the first three degrees, but I just want to read you these so you can hear what the degrees are in the Scottish Rite. The fourth degree is Secret Master. Fifth degree, Perfect Master. Sixth degree, Intimate Secretary. Seventh degree, Provost and Judge. Eighth degree, Intendant of the Building. Ninth degree. Listen to this. Master Elect of Nine. Are you hearing? Ninth degree, Master Elect of Nine. He's the elect of number nine. Who's number nine? Number 10, Elect of 15. Whatever that, I don't understand that. Number 11, Sublime Master Elected. Number 12, Grand Master Architect. Number 13, Master of the Ninth Arch or Arc. Dig? Are you digging? 14th degree, Grand Elect Mason. 15th degree, Knight of the East or Sword. 16th degree, Prince of Jerusalem. 17th degree, Knight of the East and West. 18th degree, Knight of the Rose Croix. That's the Rosy Cross of HRDM. 19th degree, Grand Pontiff, like the Pope. 20th degree, Master Ad Vitam. I would think Ad Vitam, we'd have to look it up. Let me just look it up for the heck of it to see. I'm sure that's Latin. Let's see what that means. Ad Vitam. If we can find it. Oh, there's a TV series named Ad Vitam from 2018. Isn't that interesting? Let's see if I can get the meaning of it. Do you mind showing the meaning? I'm not interested in Netflix. Ad Vitam, or Aut Culpam, is a Latin phrase found in the Scots law, meaning for light, for life, or until fault. For life, or until fault. Which guarantees the right of a sheriff deputy judge to hold office permanently or until they forfeit such by misconduct. So in other words, you become, say, like a judge for life unless you fault out by doing some kind of misconduct. So ad vitam, that's what it means. We learned something today, yes? And so that again, I'll read that one again. That's the 20th degree, Master Ad Vitam. So you become a master. who told us not to call anybody master? Can you recollect anybody saying that you shouldn't call anybody master? Yeah, it was Yeshua. Next one, 21st degree, Patriarch Noachite. That's Noachit. 22nd degree, Prince of Libanus, Liberal Anus, Prince of Libanus, Prince of Libanus, Liberal Anus. liberal a-hole, excuse me for the terrible language. Let's look it up for the heck of it, though. Libanus. I just kind of want to see what Libanus meaning. It means white. And it says this, I want you to listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen, because the father has done this. Etymology from a Semitic source. See the Semitic root, I-B-N, meaning white. Libanus. The Semitic source. You see, not the Jewish source, because they're not Semitic. How's that for something interesting? So Libanus means white. And we have a lot of liberal anuses that are white, don't we? Okay, back to this. Don't you dare laugh at that. That's not funny. All right, so that was the Prince of Libanus, 22nd degree. 23rd degree, Chief of the Tabernacle. 24th degree, Prince of the Tabernacle. Wait till you get a load of this one. 25th degree, Knight of the Brazen Serpent. Number 26, Prince of Mercy. Number 27, Commander of the Temple. 27, 2 and 7 is 9. Who might be the commander of the temple? 28th degree, Knight of the Sun, S-U-N. 29th degree, Knight of St. Andrew. 30th degree, Grand Elect Knight, K-H. I don't know if that's Kadosh or not. 31st degree, Grand Inspector, Inquisitor, Commander. Now, we know that in the Inquisition we learned yesterday that the Grand Inquisitor was set forth by the Pope or by the King of Portugal or Spain, right? The Grand Inquisitor, and the term grand was used. When you see the term grand, it usually has to do with Freemasonry. So the 31st degree is Grand Inspector, Inquisitor, Commander. 32nd degree, Sublime Prince of the Royal Secret. Do you know what the Royal Secret would be? That Lucifer is God. I believe that's what the Royal Secret is. Because they begin to tell you that it's Lucifer in the 30th degree. That, you know, the light that you've been seeking all along through these degrees, as you've taken on demon after demon into your body or around you. Some of the demons work around them. Some of the demons work within them. So the 32nd degree is Sublime Prince of the Royal Secret. And the 33rd degree is Sovereign Grand Inspector General. Sovereign Grand Inspector. That's what a king is, a sovereign, right? Of course, we were all sovereigns at one point as well. So the Sovereign Grand Inspector General. We always see that these people with the 33rd degree have on their headgear or somewhere on them the mark of Baphomet. Baphomet is, it's really not Baphomet because it's a French word. So it's Baphomet. I do believe that's the exact way to pronounce it. It's Baphomet. So I've noticed this on several. If you go onto my channel and you see Masonic Secrets, you'll see the sigil, it's called, of Baphomet on the Sovereign Grand Inspector General's gear. Also, you would have seen that on Crowley, because I'm sure Crowley is how they say it, Aleister Crowley. And so you'll see that in his works as well. This is all in front of you everywhere. It's everywhere you can think. So I wanted to just go through that little thing, and now let's continue. So the Masonic structure showing blue lodges, three orders, and red lodges, Now think of that red. First it starts out blue, and then it turns into the red lodges. You dig? Who are the reds? And who are the communists? And who are the tares? And who runs the Red Cross so they can be in control of the blood? Who is the Red Terror? Who is Edom? Most Masonic lodges are of the Blue Lodge, it says. That is the first 3 degrees. Yeah, many of the police officers and so on and so forth, they don't usually go, as far as I know anyway, past the 3 degrees. Not a lot of people go. If they get to the top of the third, the top of the Blue Lodge, that's good enough for many people. But they still do the work of the will of the people that are running the lodges. And you know who's behind running the whole show. The Masonic Knights Templar are encouraged to display their logo whenever it's possible in order to advertise. If, as some incorrectly suppose, that the symbol has been so widely used it lacks meaning, then why would they bother to use it to advertise with? Actually, the symbol is used by the Knights Templar and is distinctively theirs. And that is the cross and the crown, ladies and gentlemen. I must speak to Mike from Kingdom Identity because he uses that symbol. And it's very interesting. I'm not sure why. You see, many of our people are ignorant to what these symbols mean. And they might be using things not realizing what they're doing. This is why it's important to educate yourself in symbolism, iconery, etc., etc. Because you need to know what these signs really mean. Two features separate it from the chants. Speaking of it, it's their logo, symbol. Two features separate it from the chants. Someone also might have created a lookalike. It has a red cross and a distinctive type of crown. A red cross, ladies and gentlemen. You dig? Russell's logos clearly had all the distinctive features of the Knights Templar logo. On special editions of the Watchtower, the cover, they are in color with red crosses and the distinctive crown. Likewise, colored covers of convention souvenir notes have red crosses and his huge displays, like at the Hippodrome Service, 1910, all had red crosses. The Knights Templar license plate, it shows right here. And just very funny that this would be this way. There's the Chrysler logo. Have you ever seen Chrysler's logo? It looks like the Pentagon. It's a five-pointed pentagram, so to speak. But they fold the stars in so you don't realize what it is. And make no mistake, it's not the Edomite star where the point up is there. It's the Lucifer star where the point goes down, like at the Pentagon as well. The Pentagon is what the shape is, and you open it up and it becomes the pentagram. And this pentagon is within the pentagram. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, it's just like these are pyramids. There's five pyramids that make the arms of the star. So if you fold them out, this becomes the upside down star, which is the goat of Mendes. See, this icon's right in front of you and you don't even realize it. Every time you see the Pentagon, you're looking at the goat of Mendes. They just take and fold the star arms in to the 5-point pentagon. See, this is how important it is for you to take time and study iconery, understand what's being hidden in plain sight. And that's exactly what it is. Wheeling Commandery Number 1, Wheeling, West Virginia, is selling Knights Templar license plates for $6 each. These plates have a white background with black letters, gold crown, and red cross. The plate is pictured above. Proceeds go to Knights Templar Eye Foundation. Eye Foundation, get it? And the plate, you see, you're thinking like, oh, this is for people that have problems with eyes, right? The Eye Foundation. You dig? It's a singular foundation, a singular eye. Eye, you get it? And the plate is mailed postpaid. If interested, and as if I'm going to buy this, he's giving me the address. This is part of a page from the Masonic periodical Knights Templar, 1990. Hello. Page 23, page documents, use of the logo. And there it is. And if I was to count this, I don't really have time right now. Well, let's see if I can, okay? Really quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. Rays of the sun. 2 and 7 is 9. Hello. 27 rays of the sun. 999. 9 times 3 is 27. Hello. For all of you people out there that like to hear me talk about numbers. Very interesting. 27. So, it continues. The story of the Knights Templars takes us back to the Crusades. In 1119, a group of Crusader knights, nobles, who were billeted in the King of Jerusalem's palace, took vows of poverty. They sought to protect the Holy Sepulchre, and other holy sites, and pilgrims coming to the Holy Land. Because the King of Jerusalem's palace was built on King Solomon's temple site, these sites were named Poor Knights of the Temple. Excuse me, these knights were named Poor Knights of the Temple, quote unquote. How interesting that these Poor Knights of the Temple became the Knights Templar, who are the first international bankers, ladies and gentlemen. You understand? It's kind of funny that they called themselves the Poor Knights of the Temple. So it continues. For years, the Knights Templar built the manned castles throughout the Holy Land. Some of these still stand. They made the way safe by escorting pilgrims. Over the years, this military crusading order grew numerous and rich, possessing property through Europe. The Knights Templars built castles like this one in the Holy Land. A mural in the Templar Chapel of Cressac, Western France, from 1170 to 1180 shows a Templar knight leading two other knights into the Crusader victory at Crack. That's K-R-A-K. That's not the stuff you smoke. Very funny, Dave. Yeah. Okay. So, the author will let Pete Partner's excellent book, The Knights Templar and Their Myth, pick up the story on the book's cover and also on page 16. At the end of the 13th century, after their withdrawal from Syria, they became the apparently innocent victims of a campaign of slander and persecution mounted against them by the French government. The ruthless dissolution of the Knights Templar was only the beginning of a new and strange chapter in their history. They soon became the focus of numerous beliefs about their presumed occult powers, and by the 18th century, their history had undergone a mythical metamorphosis. They figured highly in occult fantasies of magical practices and hidden knowledge. They, by the way, just so you'll know, they worshipped Baphomet, and they were guilty of homosexual acts as well. It seems it goes along with the devil. If you're going to be in the devil's kingdom, then you must show your loyalty by being a homosexual, right? Which causes you to be in trouble with the Father in heaven, right? You understand? So it's like he gets them to do, just like his children do today, they get us to doom ourselves. They get us to take part in things that we are going to be judged for. You see? And that's what the devil does, and that's what his children do. They get you to acquiesce and do evils, like Congress. They get them to touch little children and doom their own souls. You see? Let's continue. Today, thanks to historians like Peter Partner, the sad ending of this order is actually known, accurately known. The Greenwood Encyclopedia of American Institutional Fraternal Organizations, page 194, recounts the fate of the order. Ruling princes, hard pressed for money, envied the Templars. Philip IV of France reportedly denied membership in the Templars. With the help of Pope Clement V, succeeded not only in having the Pope disband the order, but in having its Grand Master, Jack de Molay, burned at the stake in 1314. Philip IV arrested many thousands of these knights, and after torturing false confessions of heresy from them, killed thousands of them for heresy. Their large land holdings and wealth were confiscated. A more accurate word might be stolen. That sounds like Dr. Smith. Stolen. It confiscated sounds like such a much a no, nicer word, you know. We don't want to say stolen. We confiscated it. The manner of the Knights Templars' demise led to fables and hopes, which gave impetus to the creation of the Masonic Knights Templar. For centuries, the historical events were shrouded by the Catholic Church's cover-up of these mass executions, with the Church's stories of their extracted confessions of fictitious heresies. The stories grew wilder and wilder. Now enters Reformation and the Enlightenment men in the 18th century. Read Medieval History Alert for anything that seemed to break the monotony of the medieval church's European theocracy and gave signs of alternative worldviews. There was also a strong Gnostic trend in the 18th century thought, which tended to substitute for the idea of a general illumination cast by the principles of the reason over all. That of special illumination possessed only by a few. Men of this cast of mind, noticed the Templar story and turned it into a paradoxical fable of hidden wisdom, which had some groups had of Templars survived, such as those in Spain. You know, when Fritz writes this book, it's never been fixed, let's say. It's never been edited. It's never been, you know, corrected. So some of the sentences I have to add a word to try to straighten it out. Sorry about that. So some of the Templars survived, such as those in Spain. They set themselves up against the reigning Christian orthodoxy of the Middle Ages. According to them, the Templars were a secret society totally opposed to the medieval church. Note that in the 18th century, men who were A, Gnostic, B, tending to substitute general illumination for that of special illumination, and C, sympathetic to groups opposed to the Catholic Church, noticed the Knights Templar stories. And men in the 19th century, with similar thoughts, like Charles Taze Russell, also took notice of them. History records that the Freemasons, the Mormons, and Jehovah's Witnesses all replaced the idea of general illumination with that of a special illumination possessed by only a limited few. Let me stop for a moment. Is it not interesting how the beginning of when the time of Jacob's trouble began was in the 18th, which is 666, or 1 and 8 is 9, or the 19th century, 1 times 9 is 9, that all of our troubles began for our countries. They all began in the 18th and the 19th century and continue now to the 21st century. Tell me that's not interesting. And keep telling me how the number 9 is not the devil's number. You just keep telling me about that. Let's continue. Let me see what time we have here. Okay, we're going to be taking a break in a few minutes, but let's continue for a little longer. Today, we have at our disposal the benefits of better historical scholarship concerning the Crusader Knights Templar and the origin of the Masonic Knights Templar. However, during the time of Charles Taze Russell, the campaign to portray the Knights Templars as a grand alliance of such groups as the Manichaean groups, the Cathars, the Albigensians, that would be, I believe, the Vaudois, and others had reached its peak. In 1877, the rules was published. Now, wouldn't you say in 1877 the rules were published? That's what I would say. The rules were published for the general public's consumption. It purported to show how the original Knights Templars shared beliefs with other heretical groups in the Middle Ages. In the 1890s, a new anti-clerical and romantic rite in France began incorporating the Templar myths into their new theories. Likewise, Nut A, this is a book, The Legends of the Holy Grail, London, 1902, advanced the view that the Templar Knights had stood up to the Catholic Church for centuries. By trying to show ties between medieval romances, which he asserted were modeled on the, it should be modeled, okay, it's got an A, okay? So, in other words, I'm sorry, but I have to correct these things. So, these romances, which he asserted were modeled, not modaled, on the Knights Templar principles. There are statements by Russell that show he studied intensely all the heretical groups of the Middle Ages who resisted the Catholic Church. Charles Taze Russell, during his lifetime, was drawn to heresies like a bug to a light. It can be safely assumed that he would have studied the Knights Templars because they were popularly known as the link between all these various heresies. That's something you want to note in your mind, that the Knights Templars are the link between all these various heresies because they turned into these other groups. It became Masonic Knights Templar, etc., etc. So it morphed. Just like the Jews do through all of time, a good example of it would be global warming is now known as climate change. It's the same exact nonsense under a new name. So we see that what they did was they just changed it from the Knights Templar to the Masonic Knights Templar, and then to the Masons, and the, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You understand? These are the same organizations. They just, you know, transcend into another one, you know, another name, and it's the same thing. It's just under another name. It's just like Jews do in our society. It's exactly the same thing. See, you can hide things under a new name, because people are not familiar with your new name. So it continues. Historians, even Masonic ones, now concede that the Masonic Knights Templar are not directly historically linked to the ancient Crusader order. However, in Russell's day, this was still accepted by many people who did not have the knowledge to expose the fake documents that were frequently coming to light, along with their pseudo-scholar creators. The Knights Templar, Grand Encampment of the United States, is the major order of Knights Templar. It is divided into 3 degrees. Order of the Red Cross, hello. The Knights of Malta, you've heard of them, the Octagon, right? And many of the Catholics are members of the Knights of Malta. And the third one is the Knights Templar. So the three degrees of the Knights Templar are the Order of the Red Cross, the Knights of Malta, and the Knights of Templar. By the way, that filthy, dirty Negro that died there, Mandela, they try to make him like he was a great black leader when he was a piece of garbage, just like every other black leader. He was a member of the Knights of Malta, by the way. How interesting, hmm? So, the Knights of Malta has the logo displayed on the upper right of Russell's Watchtower magazines. The Knights Templar degrees logo is the logo that appears on the upper left of Russell's Watchtower magazine. Russell's crosses on his colored watchtowers are red. I want to make this connection as well. As you can see that he has a connection to Masonry. You can see he has a connection to the Knights Templar. And you can see that he has a connection to the Jewish B'nai B'rith. Understood? So you can see that there's a connection between the Jewish B'nai B'rith and the Knights Templar. Make no mistake. So let's take a quick break and listen to a song. And this is very apropos, by the way. It's just the one I picked. It's from my album, To Begin to Destroy. And it's called Do What Thou Wilt with a question mark.
The
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Saxon's Creed radio show, coming to you from davidjamesboston.com. Be sure to visit the site as frequently as you can. There'll be new articles. There's new shows to catch up on. I suggest you go back and listen to the shows from 2015 and on. That's when I started. Listening to these over and over can really help you to understand what's going on in what I'm teaching today. You'll find out that I taught a lot of things back then, and I still have to remind people of some of those things today. And so you can hear my music there. You can view my artwork there. That's secondary important things, but basically you can, there's a lot of things you can do and enjoy there. I appreciate if you'll comment on the articles on my blog. They're very important articles. And there's the Wall of Shame, which you should view. If you want to see the shooters of 2019, be sure to visit the Wall of Shame today. And I'd look through the whole thing if I were you. Very interesting things on the Wall of Shame. When you go to the menu, all you do is you look at it and you just, it says blog, and you push down and it says Wall of Shame, and you just click on Wall of Shame and it'll take you right there. So let's continue now with where we just left off, and we're talking about The Watchtower and the Masons, reading from Fritz Springmeier's book, and we're talking about the Knights Templar. If Russell isn't quietly displaying his Masonic ties, then what is he doing with all these Masonic emblems, all three of the three KT degrees logos on his Watchtower covers? Who was allowed to join the Knights Templars? Only Christians. That is, only Christian Masons, if the term is not contradictory. Did Russell ever claim to have borrowed from the Masons or Knights Templars? Russell borrowed from all kinds of heresies. He wasn't outspoken about whom he borrowed from, but he did say, "I confess my indebtedness to Adventists as well as to other denominations," quote unquote. However, it was common knowledge among those who lived with him that he borrowed heavily from others. One close follower wrote, "His was a remarkable ability to adapt to his own uses all the knowledge of others. In pursuing this method, he was not peculiar, for it is the method of many of Earth's brightest minds," quote unquote. And it is striking of these geniuses. Remember I told you the definition of genius, one of them is demon. And it is striking of these geniuses that they are humble enough to rely on their predecessors for whatever of good can thus be obtained. Before moving to Brooklyn, Brooklyn, that's where the Jews live. Before moving to Brooklyn in 1909, Russell lived in Allegheny, now Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Russell had a large library. Part of his library may have served to create the nucleus of the president's personal library at Bethel, Brooklyn, New York. The fate of Russell's library after his death is unknown. Ray Franz, who has seen the present president's library, told the author that his uncle, the president, doesn't have a large library and that it was passed from him directly from Rutherford when he was vice president because Knorr wasn't a scholar. John Warren, who has studied Russell and had a lot of contact with his loyal Bible student groups, told the author that many of Russell's personal items got into the hands of Russell's followers, such as a pen, a lamp, an A.J. Holman Bible. If his library was scattered, we may never know what Russell had to read. Besides the president's library, two other libraries now serve Bethelites, one for the governing body and the other with thousands of volumes for the workers. Sounds like a beehive, doesn't it? Which we see frequently in royalty and in Freemasonry. We see the beehive. Russell's personal library contained the very cream of gleanings from all the works of men, whether in history, science, philosophy, or whatever line. He did not ignore the authorities in these various lines. On the contrary, he was to manifestly conversant with them. It appears Russell tried to have a comprehensive library. For instance, it wasn't enough for him just to have a Strong's Concordance, but he also had Young's, and Englishman's, and Liddell's, and Scott's. He had 32 different translations of the Holy Bible in his library. Russell also had plenty of money to have a large library as he wanted, to have as large as he wanted, yeah. One more reference will suffice to display the extent of his library. His library possessed much knowledge and voluminous data on religion as believed and practiced in all parts of the world. Well, let me stop right there and say this. The reason why he would want to know about all the religions of the world, of course, to collect his own heresies, which, like the author here said, was he was attracted to heresies like a bug to a light. But you see, the purpose of Jehovah Witnesses and the Masons is to bring forth the one world religion, which is the bringing together of all the religions. And of course, what they have in common, which is the god Lucifer, who's not a god at all. Very interesting, right? So, it continues. What might have Russell learned from the religious teachings of the Masonic Knights Templar? The Knights Templar's method was to use historical fancy in the service of a new idealistic symbolism. Who hasn't noticed the same symbolism in the Watchtower system? Who isn't familiar with the popular Jehovah Witness term, the New Order? Get it, the New Order? Let's hit upon some Masonic Knights Templar highlights. 1770, Johann, however you want to say that, August Starch, he had a little too much starch in his shirts or his trousers, Johann August Starch claimed to be in possession of Essene secrets, and started a Templar group with big emphasis on knowledge from the East, especially Persia and Egypt. 1814, Admiral Sir, you know what that means, William Sidney Smith, with the Duke of Sussex, joined the French Templars. Smith, a British admiral, had aided French prisoners of war who were Masons. Smith tried unsuccessfully to obtain Malta for the Templars and the Order of St. John's wealth by claiming that this land had been stolen from the original Templars and it should be restored to the modern Masonic Templars. Sounds like a very Jewish thing. Isn't that what they're trying to pull off in Poland? The Jews are trying to steal properties off the Polish people, saying that they were stolen off them during the war. Absolutely ridiculous nonsense. 1818, hello, 36, 3 and 6 is 9, or double 666666. J. von Hammer Purgstall wrote in his famous Mysterium Baphometis Revelatum, Fundgruben de Orients, pages 1 through 120 and 445 through 99. That makes no sense to me. touch on the Templars. This mystery of Baphomet revealed identifies the god of the Templars as androgynous, which Baphomet is, as you well know. C.T. Russell also believed that God was androgynous and that Adam was originally androgynous. Remember, I told you about Adam Kadosh and how when the Bible says, this is what's in the Kabbalah, okay? They say that when God created them, both male and female, he meant that when he created Adam, Adam was also male and female, and so was Eve. A bunch of hooey, right? So listen here what he's saying. C.T. Russell also believed that God was androgynous. Let me just stop at that thought for a moment again. I'm sorry, I have to stop again. Remember when I told you I was in the Judeo-Christian church and the fellow told me that God was both male and female? And I said, no, he's man. He's a male, I mean. Remember? You see, the father wouldn't let me swallow that camel. I didn't even have to strain at a gnat to know not to swallow that camel. The father just protected me in those ways. I knew he wasn't male and female. But you see, the fellow that was telling me that, this pastor of my church, he didn't worship the Father in heaven. He worshiped Baphomet or the devil himself, and he was just telling the truth. Yes, his God is both male and female. You dig? See, the word God is a very loose term, ladies and gentlemen. You better know which God we could be talking about. On your money, it says, in God we trust. But it's not meaning the Father in heaven. You see? Words can be very particular. And you can't generalize the term God anymore, just as it's a loose term, just as the term Christianity or Christian is a very loose term now. So, it says Charles Taylor Russell also believed that God was androgynous and that Adam was originally androgynous and that in the future state of man on earth in the golden age, mankind would also be androgynous. Do we see that in the world happening right now as we head for the golden age? 1820, Michaud's widely read History des Croisades, which would mean the history of the Crusades, is published by spreading Hammer's idea about the original Templars being Gnostics. 1830, Fabre Palaprat reorganized the Templars into the Holy Church of Christ, a.k.a. the Church of Primitive Christianity, and the Revolution of 1830 allowed him to begin to expand and recruit. This new religious body also has been called the Johannite Church, and that would be with the J, Johannite or Johannite Church. In the early 1840s, this Johannite Church was disbanded. 1840 to 1850, Templars symbolized to many of the informed people of this time period the thought of persecution by authority on account of the possession of hidden and powerful knowledge. Russell felt exactly this way about his own work. Very interesting. People also have viewed the Templars in this time period as a secretive revolutionary group which had possessed hidden knowledge fatal to Orthodox Christianity, and which pointed forwards to the establishment of a new enlightened society. Hello. Russell felt this exact way towards his own work. 1868, the Dictionnaire Raison de l'Architecture Française do. you know, I don't know how to say this. O'Seal. Okay, so it was published in Paris. On page 16, it expressed that Templar buildings were inspired by number mysticism. Uh-oh, we don't want to talk about number mysticism, do we? This ties in with other Masonic beliefs on ancient architecture, and Russell's belief that the pyramid had number mysticism. Bear in mind, the Masons were claiming that they had built the Great Pyramid and Solomon's Temple. The Templar claims must have looked attractive to Russell. He felt sympathy for those who were trying to bring a new spiritual message and for their opposition during the Middle Ages to the medieval governing class. He searched for such groups because it added legitimacy to his own new message, which was opposed to all the mainline denominations in one way or another. By accepting Masonic Knights Templar claims about being the reforming spirit behind the Reformation and Enlightenment, Russell could reject Protestant claims, something Russell desired to do, which he had already done, right, with the Presbyterian Church. In the 1880s, Templar St. Yves de Alvedre saw a chosen band of initiates hidden from the view, exercising their rule through bodies that represented the various orders of society. The spiritual counterpart of this would be Russell's idea of the 144,000 elect ruling the earth from heaven. And it says in the notes here, this is not to say he borrowed from this dictionary. It is clear that Russell borrowed from Professor C. Piazzi Smith of Scotland. And that Smith, it really would be Smythe, I guess, right? Smythe. Russell acknowledged that he had read Smythe and had borrowed his pyramid ideas. Two other Scotsmen were then inspired by Russell's work, Thy Kingdom Come, quote-unquote, about the pyramid. It is still possible that the seeds to all this pyramid numerology go back to the Freemasons because it is so close to the type of knowledge they promoted. The Golden Age, May 21st, 1924, has a good article covering all of this. So it continues. The Masonic Templars had a passion for Gothic castles because of the notion of chivalry and knighthood. They viewed themselves as knights and as princes. One Mason described themselves as princes who wish to enlighten, edify, and build up the living temples to the Most High, he says. Russell certainly liked castles. He called himself the follower's princes building a spiritual temple. Questions. A. Is it possible that Russell used the Knights Templar and other Crusader logo because he saw himself as a Crusader? No. Russell never held a positive view of the Catholic Church's crusade. His opinion was, from our present day standpoint and clearer perception of things, people generally style the Crusades as an outbreak of foolishness, wasted effort, manifest ignorance, and bigotry. But perhaps Christians today have something equally foolish and irrational. Russell goes on to compare the foolishness of the Crusades to the foolishness of the pre-World War I military buildup. B. What are the differences between Templar groups? In early Masonic history, many Knights Templar groups came and went. The commandery of the Knights Templar, which is the top degree of the York Rite, called by some Masons the Christian Rite, quote-unquote, is the principal group. Of the various small Templar fraternities, the Templars of Liberty, founded in New Jersey in 1881, seems more in line with Russell's tastes. The society had three emphases. I think that's how you would say that. Anti-Catholicism, benevolence, and patriotism. The society's ritual was based on incidents of the Protestant Reformation. Local units were called temples, quote-unquote. Most of the society's membership resided in the states of New York, hello, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. To discuss the differences of the many groups would take an encyclopedia. More questions. Wasn't the Masonic Knights Templar logo used a lot back in Russell's time by everyone? To say its use was widespread would be an overstatement. It was used by individuals and groups, but in the context of being a Knights Templar emblem, the author knows that various Christians have used the symbol, even churches. But in each case, the Christians using it are the type that make them likely Masonic members. See, I don't like that. See, I knew the cross and the crown, what that is. It's the sons of God and the daughters of men. It's the male and the female. Again, as above, so below. You understand? It's the same thing. The heavens and earth, you know, all these different things it really means. So it continues. Let me see here. What we have for time? Yes, we have some time. Two examples will suffice to make the point. A particular Baptist group in the city, which built a church in 1919, placed the Knights Templar emblem on the side of its building. What is interesting is that anyone bothered to place something on the side rather than the front. This Baptist church calls its church a temple, quote unquote, and its origin is far different than most Baptists. It was formed by some Scandinavian Lutheran priests. Pietists. Oh, that's interesting. How did they view Freemasonry? In the early 1900s, a number of Portland Baptist ministers became Masons. Remember, I told you that the Baptist denomination is steeped full of Masons. Okay, back to the article. Back to the book. Baptist evangelist Ray Palmer, a lodge member, even used his order as the subject of a sermon in July on 1904. Portland's first Baptist minister, W. Brower, a member of the Masons, invited his Masonic order to church in June 1909, and preached a sermon, Baptists and Masons, quote unquote, in which he said the two groups believed the same. That's not true, or is it? An exact quote is that they were one in their fundamental doctrines, quote unquote. The author wonders if he considered Christ's atonement and salvation fundamental. What happens next? The next day at a conference for all the area Baptist ministers, the Temple Baptist minister participated in silencing a W.M. Wyatt, who stood up to take issue with Brower's sermon. Clearly, the Baptist temple didn't see anything wrong with the Masons. Second example, a Christian uses the logo for his business, but an inquiry into his personal life makes him a suspected Mason. Very interesting, isn't it? Wouldn't it be more sensible to accept that it is a Masonic symbol? Yes, it makes sense to accept the most reasonable and the obvious explanation, and then try to show exceptions. If I see a hammer and a sickle, it is sensible to see it symbolizing communism. That's correct. Then I can examine whether it might possibly be an exception to that. The following pages contain photocopies of the Bible student convention programs. During Russell's time, the International Bible Students Association, the IBSA, used Masonic halls and temples for their meetings. Today, Bible student groups loyal to Russell and his teachings continue to meet in about the same type of places that they met in Russell's day. Masonic halls, YMCAs, and public meeting halls. The frequent use by Russell's IBSA during the 20th century of YMCAs is noteworthy. It may provide a clue as to how Russell could have been recruited by the Freemasons. Active Presbyterian John Wanamaker was the national president of the YMCA. Like Charles Taze Russell in Allegheny, John Wanamaker also ran a successful men's clothing store in Philadelphia. The established churches felt his YMCAs were unnecessary competition. He even began Sunday school classes at the YMCA. Wanamaker was made a Mason in March 1898 and a Knights Templar in June 1902 and a Knight of the Rose Croix, which is the Rose Cross, the Scottish Rite derivation of the Rosicrucians. December 1912, Wanamaker, who is world famous for his positive retail innovations during the 1860 to 1900 time period, were likely caught by the eye of Charles Taze Russell. For those who have forgotten, the list of his innovations include the attitude, the customers are always right, profit sharing, employee benefits, the department store, customer service, and guaranteed refunds for customers. Wanamaker revolutionized the retail business. A man of such caliber as Wanamaker could have had a great personal influence on a man like Russell. Very interesting. And it shows a lot of different things here that you can see if you got the book. And I'm sure it's worth seeing it. We're at chapter 7 right here. Russell and the Wing Sun Disc. So we have about 10-ish minutes left, 9 minutes left. Hello. Okay. Russell places the Wing Sun Disc on his books and tracts. In 1910, Russell made his second trip to the Egyptian pyramids. When he returned, he wrote an article in the Watchtower magazine about how the pyramid was God's hidden message. Two big changes then were instituted on the covers of the Studies of the Scriptures series. To the binding was added both London and Brooklyn, or Brooklyn and London. At the same time, Russell made efforts to look international. He made another change to his books. C.T. Russell's other big change was to direct having the Egyptian Trinity wing sun disc placed on all of his covers. I'm just thinking about wing sun disc being the Trinity. Very interesting. What is the wing sun disc? The particular representation used by Russell is a symbol of the 33rd degree Masons. There are many ways to draw. Remember what I told you. I want to remind you of this. That from the book Hidden Life in Freemasonry, which I've mentioned many times over the years, when you become a 33rd degree Mason, you become linked with the spiritual king of this world, whom you know is Lucifer, correct? And I told you this revelation of like being linked can also mean being chained to. In other words, you've become God. You are man perfected now. That's why only certain people can become 33rd degree Masons. You can't put a petition in and say, I'd like to become a 33rd degree Mason. I'm a 32 degree Mason. They have to ask you. If you ask them, it's nullified immediately. We found out from Fritz's book. So, isn't that interesting that you get the winged sun disc in the 33rd degree because of the sun god and the wings representing, you know, Lucifer, I would say. You know, when you see Lucifer, you see him, you know, with wings. Anyway, I think that's interesting. So it says, there are many ways to draw or represent the winged sun disk. Although the 33-degree Masons use this particular representation, the actual origins of the symbol go back to ancient Egyptian magic. This chapter will cover A, the Masonic use of the symbol, B, how the symbol was variously drawn and how it was used in ancient Egypt, and C, what types or styles of representation were available for Russell to copy from in his day, and D, how an obscure Older Testament passage alludes to this Egyptian symbol. Yes, and it's the same type of a thing you see with Arrowsmith. You know, it's the same type of deal. So it continues. The winged sun disk, as Russell used it, it is in the form that a Masonic lexicon portrays it. Also, Albert Churchward, 30 degree, also portrays the symbol in his book, Signs and Symbols of Primordial Man. The evolution of religious doctrines from the eschatology of the ancient Egyptians, Churchward, a 30-degree Mason, states that the winged sun disk is used by the 33rd-degree Masons and that they alone know its meaning. What is the 33rd degree? This is the highest level known to the public in Freemasonry. There are both honorary 33rd degree and actual operative 33rd degree. Notable persons such as presidents and famous clergymen are initiated into the honorary 33rd degree. The Freemasons like prominent people to join and then to give them this status. It enhances the reputation of the Masons. According to one ex-33rd degree Mason, the author interviewed, Russell would have been a prime target of recruitment. Another ex-33rd degree, Jim Shaw, provides a description of his 33rd degree initiation rites where he met two presidents and a prominent evangelist, which is Billy Graham, you know, and two internationally famous clergymen. The winged sun disk derives its meaning from ancient Egypt. The actual Masonic god worshipped at the levels, high levels, is the sun god known in various cultures by different names. As stated, this ancient Trinity symbol, which stands for Osiris, the sun god, Horus, which is the son of these two, and Isis, is used by the 33rd degree Masons. Understand that Osiris, ladies and gentlemen, is the green man. I've read that in A Bridge to Light. I read some of that while I was waiting for my vehicle to be repaired one time years ago. And the green man is Osiris. As a matter of fact, when you see Osiris pictured in Egyptian symbolism and, you know, the iconography, you'll see that his face is green. This is the sun god. And you see him, he has sex with Isis, and the offspring is Horus. So back to the article, book. It is also supposedly still in use by those who practice Egyptian magic as a religion. The author has never seen anyone who does. However, some Masonic rituals are based on Egyptian magic. Very interesting. In Practical Egyptian Magic, under Symbols and Instruments, page 107, the following description is given. Emblematic of the element of air, this consists of a circle or solar-type disc enclosed by a pair of wings. In ritual magic, it is suspended over the altar in an easterly direction and used when invoking the protection and cooperation of the sylphs. Now, let's find out what this word sylphs means. Could it mean demons? Let us find out. An imaginary spirit of the air. a mainly dark green and blue hummingbird, the male of which has a long forked tail. Very interesting. Let's see, anything. A sylph is always young, female, and slender, moving with an almost otherworldly lightness and grace. Now, what did I tell you about female angels? You dig? It's very interesting how all this comes about. We're on page 118. We're going to have to let off there. I'll tell you, you know, everything is so easy to see when you just have a few clues about what we've learned over all this time. It's so easy to put these dots together over and over and over again. And if you've been paying attention like you should be, you'll begin to see these things in your own life. Interesting that it would be a female angel, with the sun god being the male. This time the circle is the male, which is kind of like a little different. But there are no female angels, ladies and gentlemen. But one thing you can be sure of is you've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.